Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's bring in our man, Chris Biederman. Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee, of course. What's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Man, we're riding high. I'm not even a 49er fan, and we're riding high. That we've debated between week one with the Bills and the Ravens and last night's game. I mean, some have thrown the was it the Eagles and the Cowboys in there? Or I think it was the Cowboys and the Giants. That was the game of the year last night so far, no?
Yeah, probably. I mean, from a 49ers fan perspective, absolutely. And I think you can go back to, I mean, in terms of wins, regular season wins for the Kyle Shanahan era, that might be number one, just given the context of everything. Like, given, you know, our buddy Nick Wagner wrote about it at ESPN, it was the biggest upset of the season from a point spread perspective, and it was the biggest upset the 49ers have had since that Eagles game in 2011 when they went and won in Philadelphia with that Justin Smith strip fumble on Jeremy Maclin, if you guys remember that one. So it was, from that perspective, it was a huge game. Like, if the 49ers go on a playoff run, I think we can go back and look to October 2nd and say, yeah, maybe that was a moment for them.
I'm thinking here, I would say the Seattle game, last game of the season in 2019.
Sure.
That same year, the New Orleans games, absolutely iconic. You've got the...
There was another Rams 49ers game.
That was in 2019 as well. That was iconic. Well, then you've got the other one in 2021, last game of the season to get into the playoffs. Iconic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Top five, though, last night. Top five. And then, like you said, when you talk about the context of who was out and short week and everything that goes into it, top five win, regular season win in the Kyle Shanahan era.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that.
The fumble on the goal line is the thing that I just can't get. Like, that is just tough for me to, like, they're punt the game, it's over, and they take the ball away.
Kyle Shanahan said something today. What was the term he used? It was like competitive resilience, or it was something. I wish it wasn't escaping me right now, but it was something to the effect of, like, they had to outlast competitively their opponent. And it kind of stuck out to me given the context of the 49ers kind of rebuilding, right? And I wonder how much, or reconstructing the roster, they don't want to call it rebuilding, but like the youth movement they've gone through, like, do you have more competitive resiliency when you have a younger roster as opposed to what they had last year with a bunch of older guys who probably a little bit fatigued from, you know, the short off season that they had after losing the Super Bowl, and just the mental bandwidth that you lose when you go through a playoff run and lose in the Super Bowl in overtime the way they did. I think last night sort of speaks to the idea of, like, a youth movement and having maybe a little bit more competitive resiliency in that moment, because you don't have nearly as many players who have been beaten down by that Super Bowl run from the previous year. You know what I mean? And I think it speaks to, like, Alfred Collins being a guy who makes a play, Marquise Siegel coming in and helping stop that run on fourth down, and kind of throughout the season, you know, like, Upton Stout has been making plays. And I think that sort of speaks to, like, what the 49ers were hoping for a little bit with this youth movement, is like, can we re-inject some energy into this roster? And I think last night was an example of what they were trying to accomplish.
I want to run something by you that I talked about earlier, and it's maybe a little tough because Stafford had statistically, and just watching the game, he played well last night. But this, I think he threw for 380 or something like that, three touchdowns. But I thought that secondary, specifically the corners, competed like crazy in that game. And I think that group, I know the secondary is also part of the, the safeties are also part of the secondary. But I'm looking specifically at the corners when you talk about Lenore, when you talk about Green, and when you talk about Upton Stout. I think by the end of the season, Chris, that might have the 49ers with a top three secondary unit in the league. They might be top three today. I love the way they've played in 5 weeks. Lenore is just shut down. He is a lockdown corner right now, and Stout seems to be getting better every week.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Lenore got killed with the holding penalties last night. But I thought Renardo Green played a really good game. And it just seems like even Siegel is, you know, I know the advanced numbers will probably say like he's allowing a lot of completions, but it doesn't feel like he's far off. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like he is oftentimes in really good position and maybe just a split second late in terms of breaking up some of these passes. But for a fifth round rookie to come in and start the way he has, I think you got to be encouraged by that if you're a 49ers fan. The other thing too is they don't even have. That they don't even have their full array yet. My brain is foggy. I just woke up from a nap. What's the guy's name from Mustafa. The knee injury? Malik Mustafa. He's not even back yet. So what's that going to look like? Is Siegel and Mustafa are they going to be the starters? Is Jason Pinnock going to continue to start? It sounds like Mustafa is going to come back to practice on Monday. So yeah, I'm optimistic. I think. The only thing that would give me pause in terms of like saying they're going to be a top five unit is just, I don't know that the pass rush is going to be good enough to help them out. I think they're going to have to stand on their head a little bit if quarterbacks can just sit back there and pick them apart, but they could play like a top five unit if the pass rush improves. And maybe if the 49ers go and make a trade for a pass rusher, but I'm with you in that. Like there's a lot of talent there.
Chris, one of my favorite things about last night's game is the contrasting play calling from Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay in critical moments. I mentioned the, you know, anytime you get a fumble on the goal line, like that's going to be incredible to me. And the 49ers were able to do it. Obviously that put them in a credible position where they're a heartbeat away from the goal line. Kyle Shanahan gets conservative with his play calling, forces the Rams to use all of their timeouts. And then you have a situation, you know, some 30, 40 real life minutes later where Sean McVay is in a situation where he decides to get ultra aggressive with his play calling, and it winds up costing them the victory. What did you think of Kyle Shanahan's play calling and how that story wound up coming back later in the night?
Yeah, I think that's probably the hardest part of game management when you're in that position that Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers were in, where you have a lead, the other team has timeouts, and you're deep in your own territory and you have to figure out how to manage that situation. I think it's kind of a toss up in terms of like, I think there's plenty of logic towards trying to get the first down, right? But you have a backup quarterback, you're missing your top three receivers, you don't have your all pro tight end. Mac Jones can barely move. Like, I understand why Kyle Shanahan wouldn't want to put all his chips in on that scenario against a good Rams defense on their home field, because, you know, what's a good third down conversion rate for a good NFL team? It's like 50%. So there's a 50% chance that you get what you need to do, whereas if you run the ball, there's a 100% chance that the Rams get the ball back with no timeouts. And I think if the Rams had a timeout, they're in much better position to try to score a touchdown before the end of regulation, and then you lose the game. Mm-hmm. So, but to me, like either way, it's like one of those like 55-45 probability calls. Like I think that's a really difficult call to make. And I think if you have all of your starters, maybe you're more aggressive there and trying to get a first down to put the game away. But the Niners just didn't have any of their starters, and Mac Jones seemed like he could barely move. So I get it from that standpoint. And from Sean McVay's standpoint, I thought it was sound to go for it on fourth down. I just hated the play call. Mm-hmm. You taking the ball out of Matt Stafford's hands. He had 280 yards passing after halftime. And, you know, the Rams' best players are Stafford and their receivers. And Kyron Williams is a good back, but I'm not running it on fourth and one there. I'm doing, you know, like I'm keeping the ball in Matt Stafford's hands and letting him make a play and maybe even trying to get a touchdown, because you can maybe sell play action and sell, hey, we're going to try this running play, but then boot out of it and you have somebody open. You know, they're at what, the 11-yard line? Like they, you know, they could have gone to the end zone and caught the 49ers off guard there. So I thought they did the 49ers a favor by running the ball. But no, like in terms of kicking the field goal, there's no way I'm kicking the field goal there if I'm Sean McVay. So I like going for it. I just hated the running call.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We got to talk about my guy, my guy, number 10, Mac 10, Mac Jones. I talked about it earlier, Chris, and I
he's been a lifelong Mac Jones fan.
Haven't we all?
Matt Jones supporter.
That's a Mac, Jones that's right. Yeah, yeah.
I apologized to him earlier in the show because I didn't think he was like terrible or this awful player, but I probably sold him short a little bit. I was like, he'll be around in the league. He'll be here for 10 years. He'll be a backup. And I think Mac Jones is actually better than that. I think he is a good quarterback. He is a tough quarterback. He, for the most part, seems, when he's coached up the right way, makes the right decisions. He's better than I gave him credit for, Chris. I just got to say it. He is a better quarterback than I gave him credit for. What do you think of Mac Jones after seeing him up close and personal for training camp and for these three games?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think because I was pretty against the idea of Kyle Shanahan trading up, you know, investing three first round picks in somebody like Mac Jones because of just how limited he is physically. But what Kyle Shanahan likes about Mac Jones is what is pretty similar to what he likes about Brock Purdy, which is, I think, really hard to evaluate from the outside because it's the way they think, it's the way they process. And like, we can't always see that by, you know, just casual fans watching. And so Kyle Shanahan is much more of like a, he's into processing power more so than like the big arm strength. Like it's really interesting to see now, cause it was a hypothetical for so long. Like, what would it look like if Kyle Shanahan had actually gotten Mac Jones instead of Trey Lance? And we're like, all right, Trey Lance has all these physical tools, but never developed the processing, that Kyle Shanahan wanted. And Mac Jones has those things. So it's really interesting to see that kind of come to fruition. And the 49ers at quarterback are in a really good spot. Like, I'm with you, Kenny. Like, I don't think there's a quarterback controversy coming. Like, I think it would have to take one full season of Brock Purdy being bad and or injured for the 49ers to ever think about moving a different direction. I think you have really what every NFL team would want, is like a franchise guy who you can win games with, and then a backup who, if the franchise guy misses time, there isn't this massive dramatic drop off, which happens to, I don't know, 95% of the league when they have to play their backup quarterback. So I think the 49ers are in a great spot from their quarterback position. Mac Jones fits Kyle Shanahan perfectly. This is why Kyle Shanahan was interested in Mac Jones back in 2021. I think as time has gone on, it's been clear that that probably would have been a mistake to invest three first round picks in Mac Jones. But if you can get him as a backup for 2 years and $8 million or whatever it is, like that's good business for the 49ers.
And also, Chris, investing three first round picks, I still stand on that's the wrong idea. But if you would have just drafted him at 13, I think that would have been okay. Like, I would have been fine with that or whatever. Yeah. They had 13, 12. I can't remember what the pick that it was they had, but I would have done that.
At 11.
I just wouldn't have traded the future to go get Mac Jones. But
Mac Jones or Micah Parsons? I think they could have taken Micah with that pick.
Yeah. Not anybody but Trey Lance. Damn, that didn't work.
Could have gotten Micah Parsons and Brock Purdy in the same
draft. Oh, my gosh.
Chris, you said that the 49ers quarterback, you know, position's in a good spot. Doesn't feel like their running game is. And they have not been able to get going. And Christian McCaffrey was brilliant last night. He's been brilliant through the most part of this season. He's been brilliant his entire career in catching the ball out of the backfield. And he has a lot of plays. He had a couple of last night that they're pass plays. And they go to Mac Jones's totals and they go to his passing totals. But their passes at the line of scrimmage, their passes, you know, 1 yard out, and he's turning it into a big gain. Like, it's technically not a run, but it's Christian McCaffrey doing all of the work right there. But in terms of turning around, handing off, pitching, something that just isn't clicking for the San Francisco 49ers right now, and I'm curious as to what the main reason why is.
I definitely think the offensive line is not doing a great job in the running game. I think that's, you know, I've never thought that Jake Brendel was this excellent run blocking center. You have a rookie seventh round picked at left guard. You have Dominic Pooney, who I think is maybe a little bit banged up, at least going back to August. He certainly was. And you have Trent Williams aging. I think that's part of it. Christian McCaffrey's aging. He's 29 years old. But I think the bigger part of it, just zooming out, is just when you don't have your top three receivers and your top tight end, who's also, you know, the best run blocking tight end in the league, I think all of those factors kind of contribute to it. I don't think there's any one thing. I think if the 49ers had all their receivers, they'd probably be more explosive offensively. And that would change the way teams approach them. Like, if you're defending the 49ers right now, you're really just keying on Christian McCaffrey and say, all right, we're going to key on Christian. And if you want to beat us with Jake Tonjes, go ahead. And that's not a knock on Jake Tonjes. That's just what you do. And the 49ers have been fortunate in that Jake Tonjes has been playing pretty well and actually been a threat for them. So I think it's just a combination of everything. I think it's missing guys. I think it's the way defenses are approaching them. I think it's, you know, age and attrition along the offensive front. And I think the 49ers are probably banking on, like, if they can get Ricky Pearsall and Brandon Ayuk and Juwan Jennings back and George Kittle back, that will open things up in the passing game. Defenses have to adjust schematically, and then you can gash them a little bit more in the running game. But to your point, like, the fact that Christian McCaffrey is still having this type of season from a production standpoint without being good in the running game speaks to what an elite talent he is, and maybe a singular talent when it comes to being a pass catcher out of the backfield. And Kyle Shanahan said it, I forget if it was last week or the week before, but he said he's never seen a running back who's better out of the backfield. And I have to agree with him. I don't even know who would really be close at this point. And you saw it last night with a touchdown. As soon as Christian McCaffrey splits out wide, you're like, oh, this is easy. Like, pitch and catch. This is an easy touchdown because you have Christian McCaffrey against some linebacker. And that, you know, there's no way the 49ers are losing in that scenario. So I think it's really impressive that McCaffrey has been this productive despite the running game struggling as much as it has.
Mm-hmm. Now, Chris, you're spot on. And as you speak, I'm trying to make sure I have these numbers correct as I do them on my own, because I was thinking the same thing about Christian McCaffrey. If the 49ers win the NFC West, get to NFC Championship, wherever they go in the playoffs, these 5 weeks when the 49ers were being held together by duct tape, by Christian McCaffrey, will be the reason. 142 total yards to start the season, 107 in game two, 140, 141, 139.
Mm-hmm.
The running game doesn't look the way we want it to, but his ability to continue to be a game changer in these first 5 weeks is special.
82 yards out of the back as a receiver last night on 8 receptions.
Absolutely special. And I got to tip my cap to him because, like I said, it doesn't look the same, because of the running woes that they have. Offensive line isn't as crisp as you'd like it to be. I think McCaffrey, to a certain degree, isn't as crisp as, I mean, 2023, that was a cyborg. That was like, that was not human. So that's fair to, unfair to compare him to that. But he's not that anymore. But man, he's the one that makes all of this stuff go while all the chaos is going around him.
Yeah, in Seattle, there were those, you know, third and fourth down conversions that, that he made in the passing game. He had that touchdown at the end of the first half in the Saints game that was, you know, one of the biggest plays in that game. And he's just figures out a way to be a factor, and Kyle Shanahan does a really good job of figuring out ways to get him open too. But it's crazy to think about how productive he's been despite defenses keying on him. Like, if you're a defensive coordinator, you're like, where's 23? That is the most important thing we got to figure out. And while it looks tough sometimes, he still finds ways to be really productive, and Kyle Shanahan finds ways to get production out of him. So yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think Christian McCaffrey, without him, that, you know, there's no way the 49ers are 4-1 at this point.
92 yards receiving in week 4 against the Jaguars, 82 last night, like you said earlier. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. It's your running back.
Context, Devontae had 88.
Yeah. It's your running back, man. What great job by him, man.
And
88 the week before.
I know we've mentioned it. I don't feel like we've given enough love to Kendrick Bourne in the night he had.
Oh, man. Yeah. Shout out, Kendrick.
10 receptions, 142 yards is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. On 11 targets.
Yeah.
And coming off the all the drops he had in the Jaguars game. So yeah, that was massive. If you had told me the 49ers would be without their top three receivers and George Kittle, and you're still going to get somebody not named Christian McCaffrey to have 142 receiving yards and all those first downs that he got, I'd say you're lying to me. it's not happening. But yeah, for Kendrick Bourne to step up like that, these are the things that didn't happen last year. Like, the 49ers played in a bunch of those types of games last year, but they would lose pretty much all of them. Like, when the 49ers were as injured as they were and they didn't have Brock Purdy, it was like, all right, like, this is going to be a slog of a watch. This podcast Kyle and I are going to have to do is going to be really annoying because we're going to talk about injuries and all the guys the 49ers are missing. And that's what I thought was going to happen going into last night. I was like, man, the Niners might get dog walked. Like, do they sit Christian McCaffrey? Do you keep these touches off of him and just take the L and try to get ready for Tampa? And then they come out and win the game in overtime. Like, just the context of the win is crazy to me. And, you know, again, I think if they go on a run this year, that'll be one of the biggest games of the regular season for them.
Real quick, did you see the Panthers podcast that stopped doing their podcast because the Panthers are so bad? They said they can't justify the time away from their kids and wives I would anymore. So they stopped the podcast.
I would be lying. I would be 100% lying if I told you that never crossed my mind when we're in August and talking about, like, the Niners don't even have enough players to have a joint practice. Because I'm like, what are we talking about? Like, why do we have to still do this podcast?
Chris is like, it's too much time away from my kids. Chris, you don't have kids. Still too much time away from them. Gotta be with the dog. Gotta be with the dog. Chris, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for making time for us. We've demanded that Kyle return here, and we've demanded it. So
he's always going to Hawaii in the middle of the football season.
Yeah, it's like he doesn't know the football season's happening. Like, it completely catches him off guard. Like, oh, I've got to go.
Oh, that's this month.
Yeah.
Oh.
And as someone who's had to either text or call him like every day this week, it's kind of like, hey, man, get your ass back here.
Yeah, we're ready for Kyle to come back. If Kyle's listening, come back, man. We could use you. I can't run solo on all these pods.
Oh, that's Cap. You're doing a great job. I love listening to you. I know you had Matt Maiocco on recently. This is great stuff, as always. Chris, we appreciate you, my friend.
Take care, big dog.
Absolutely.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.